Thank you for listening to the Voices of UMass Chan, featuring the people, ideas, and advances of UMass Chan Medical School.
From UMass Chan Medical School, this is the Voices of UMass Chan. I'm your host, Jennifer Berryman. Today, we are focusing on an aspect of the opioid epidemic that remains a huge challenge, namely connecting people with the treatment that they need. The gap remains almost astonishingly wide. In 2019, it was estimated that more than 21 million people with opioid use disorder needed treatment, but fewer than 3 million actually received it. And our guest today is working to bridge that gap in care. Dr. Margaret Chang is an assistant professor of medicine, a primary care physician, and the medical director of the office-based addiction treatment program at Tri-River Family Health Center. Dr. Chang also directs the addiction curriculum for internal medicine residents here at UMass Chan and has an appointment in pediatrics. A very busy woman. We are appreciative that you've made time to speak with us. Welcome, Dr. Chang.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course, everyone's heard of the opioid epidemic and probably know somebody who's struggling with substance use disorder. But what are you seeing in your practice right now? What is sort of the current state of affairs?
It's interesting for me to reflect. So just to take, I think, myself and us back, I graduated residency in 2014. This was a time where, you know, I think people knew that there was a societal issue with opioids. People like me who were fresh out of residency were starting to get really interested in actually pursuing what's called the X waiver or something, basically a certification that would allow us to be able to prescribe buprenorphine, which is one of the medications, the primary one that we have in our arsenal to combat opioid use disorder. From 2014, when I got trained and actually got this waiver that allowed me to prescribe, it seemed like things started to escalate fairly dramatically. You know, I was in practice kind of in a family medicine setting, which we'll talk about in a little bit, for a few years. And I started to see a lot of people, even just kind of walking in to meet a primary care provider, but then would disclose kind of in the context of the visit, like, hey, you know, this is something I think I may be struggling with, or, you know, I know someone kind of who has gotten on heroin and they can't get off and I'm not sure why, just because, you know, I know there are addiction treatment centers and things like that, but I don't think they really want to go there. Certainly if it were the patient themselves, I don't want to go to an addiction treatment center. Can you help me? And so I was very struck by all of that. And, you know, I think during that time when I first started out as a newly minted physician, was really involved and engaged in just trying to get myself to be able to help these people. I think kind of over the past 5 years, I'll say, including the pandemic, a lot of this has shifted in that I actually think people talk about substance use disorder more. We as a society talk about the opioid epidemic, as so it's called. We talk about issues with alcohol. We talk about issues with now marijuana. But what's striking to me is just the overdose fatalities. And I think over the course of the past 2 to 3 years, we've just seen this dramatic skyrocketing of it. I think it's an interesting thing because even though I think there's a little bit more openness, I think in clinical culture about talking about these things, people are still overdosing and they're still dying at a very, very high rate. And I think what I'm interested in is in why, and can I close that gap? Because unfortunately, not everyone who kind of seeks primary care provider can actually get those resources in primary care in terms of managing their addiction, managing opioid use disorder, or things like that.
So I'm hearing you say the awareness maybe has helped in terms of bringing the issue to the forefront, but it hasn't been effective. Awareness alone cannot bring down the overdose rate and the fatality rate. So you began your clinical practice at the Family Health Center in Worcester, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so is it true that that is sort of, you know, you talked about being a newly minted physician, graduating from residency. Is that sort of when you were first exposed to this outpatient addiction program?
I was, you know, where I had trained, which is the Brown kind of residency program, we didn't really have that model per se. And, you know, now I can say this because now, of course, a lot of the Brown residents have this training and, you know, there's a lot of embedded addiction care and primary care. But when I trained, that wasn't the case yet. And so what I was able to see at Family Health Center was actually like a team-based approach where there was a dedicated nurse, a dedicated medical assistant, whose job was to kind of really help coordinate care for individuals where I'll say this phrase, like, you know, kind of high touch. And I don't mean it in a derogatory manner, but it's just that, like, I think individuals who struggle with substance use disorders, particularly opioid use disorders, just have a lot going on. And so, you know, it's very helpful in a primary care setting, of course, if you actually have a team who you can kind of count on to sort of help out with housing situation, if that's an issue, to help kind of, you know, navigate maybe a challenging social situation in the community where they may be at risk of relapsing, you know, with a peer recovery coach and things like that. Things that are kind of linked, for example, to someone suffering from substance use disorder and opioid use disorder, but are not kind of indirectly in my realm. So, you know, I'm a physician, you know, kind of, I was trained to prescribe medications and actually have conversations about medications and treat kind of in that perspective. And even though I might be mindful of these other things, it's too much for one person to do. And I think that really opened my eyes, because oftentimes in medicine, we're very much limited by the silos that we kind of have, you know, and I think things are changing kind of gradually in that direction. But for me, being able to see that team-based approach was huge.
I'm just curious how that highly attentive, multidisciplinary, team-based approach that you just were talking about shaped the work that you're doing now. And can you shed a little bit of light on what you are doing now?
I think it absolutely shapes it 100%. When I first arrived at Tri-River, there was kind of the roots of this. There were people who were interested, particularly in prescribing buprenorphine, which is known as Suboxone. And again, that's kind of one of the main medications we use for the treatment of opioid use disorder. And there, you know, but there was just no kind of teamwork per se, you know, and I think part of it was there was just too much going on just in the act of prescribing and the seeing of patients to really knit things together. And initially, kind of when I first started at Tri-River, you know, it was hard to navigate, but I think I was fortunate enough, and I feel like Tri-River as a clinic was fortunate enough to have a base of people who were really willing and wanting to do more about this public health issue that was really affecting a lot of our patients, but we really, you know, never were kind of able to do much about it in the past. And so this, you know, kind of the cohort of us kind of with me, because I had very recent experiences at Family Health Center and kind of had that model in mind, we started to meet fairly regularly and just talk about patient care. And even though we didn't have like a nurse or like a medical assistant, there was enough kind of momentum with this team so that we eventually developed a protocol. Eventually, we were able to hire a nurse who was just dedicated for addiction care. And that has been a game changer for us because, you know, with kind of that point person, you know, we now have kind of someone who would be able to serve as a point of care for patients that needed this high touch level of engagement. And so, you know, actually having that nurse and having this framework, I think it absolutely has made people just in our clinic a lot more comfortable. Not just prescribing buprenorphine and Suboxone, which I think are very important things, but even just in having the conversation, because the thought in a primary care doctor's head, because we're all so busy, we have to turn through like a ton of patients, is always like, okay, is this issue something I can actually help with? Or because it's not, I'm not going to deal with it right now. And so having this team has turned that kind of dialogue into like, yeah, I'm going to have this discussion about substance use disorder with this patient because you know what? I can do something about it.
And that's kind of what I want to ask you, you know, for other practices or clinics that might be interested in doing something similar, given the realities of healthcare today and reimbursements and all of that, how are you able to sort of garner the resources and the wherewithal to make this feasible?
That's a really good question. And I think asking that question is actually the heart of being able to empower other primary care doctors and practices to be able to kind of do the same thing. And I would say the number one thing is support staff in particular. I think there's so much, and I feel like there's been so much kind of press coverage even, and journal media coverage just about like, you know, physicians don't do this. They don't address substance use disorder. They don't address opioid use disorder. They don't prescribe. But question really hasn't been asked as much as to why. And I really feel, because I do a lot of primary care myself, you know, I don't just do kind of addiction medicine. The reality is, you know, I think for a lot of patients to be able to have good care with regard to substance use disorder, you absolutely need a team. You absolutely, you know, and institutions need to be able to invest in kind of that framework. And you know, I strongly feel like, and I feel like a lot of my role right now within UMass is kind of pushing for this, which is, you know what, if you actually kind of invest a little bit of resource into a team that can actually help primary care physicians do this work, you will get a lot of return of investment, not just in people being able to do these types of visits and do this type of care, but the healthcare system, you know, I think will actually save a lot of resource kind of in return that, frankly, we're kind of pawning out to other places, you know, kind of like other centers that just treat addiction. And there's a lot lost with that. If I can just share a short anecdote, just because one of my heart-wrenching roles right now, because there's not a lot of people doing this, is actually helping adolescents recover, you know, and particularly adolescents who do have opioid use disorder, just because there's really not a lot of resource kind of in this area of Massachusetts, frankly, that I know of. There's like myself, Dr. Saffar Medina, who's also at Tri River. He's a pediatrician. But I was seeing this 17-year-old, and it was her first visit. She was just like super, super nervous. But she came in and she was like, okay, you know, like I've been using fentanyl. And, you know, we had our visit. And 5 minutes later, she said to me, Dr. Chang, I was so, so scared. I almost turned around and left because I thought you were just going to have me pee in a cup and that's it. That's kind of what I thought like an addiction center would do. But the fact that you were able to kind of have a discussion to me about like my primary care, my other issues, and do this, it made me feel like a lot more comfortable. And I would never have sought care at like an outside addiction center. It was just because this kind of came up and I knew that you were available in a primary care setting. That's why I'm here.
Maybe this is a good place just to provide a little bit of context that was eye-opening to me. So according to survey data released by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, there are nearly 49 million people in the United States over the age of 12 who are suffering from substance use disorder. That's about one in every seven people. And so before we talk a little bit about what you're doing at UMass with the residency programs, you shared that great anecdotal story, but what impacts have you seen in your practice since you have initiated this team-based approach?
One of my favorite impacts is that there are other providers that I work with who were initially very, very reticent to even, you know, like I mentioned before, like write a prescription for buprenorphine or even kind of go there with patients, who now send me patients all the time and now have actually themselves taken over prescribing. I've been at Tri River close to 6 years. And so this did not happen overnight. This took just like, okay, you know, we're being like me and other providers that, you know, kind of, I think, felt more comfortable doing this. We're just going to kind of do this work and kind of do it as best as we can. I think the other thing is we actually implemented like a clinical protocol. So it wasn't like, okay, we're not just kind of prescribing these medications and carrying kind of like flying by the seat of our pants. It's actually kind of a clinical way that we do this. But really my favorite thing has been that, you know what? People are way more comfortable doing this. With that statistic, like nearly one in seven people in this country suffering, we absolutely need this. And I think more and more, just like my patient that I described show, you know, like if we can actually engage these people in primary care, there goes some of the stigma that's associated with like going to kind of like an addiction center or things like that, where that's all they do. They just treat substance use disorder. And it's not to say that there's not a place for people or places like that. But, you know, I think one in seven people, that's a lot of people. You know, I would want to, as a primary care doctor, be able to engage some people in that kind of statistic to be able to provide care for them.
That's such a great point that to the extent that access to primary care can be broadened to include everybody, it really will help to reduce that stigma. So let's talk about the residency program. So at UMass, the resident physicians know you well. You are the addiction curriculum lead. What are some of your thoughts about teaching this upcoming generation of caregivers safer opioid prescribing, and how is UMass Chan addressing it?
I love this part of my job. It's been so rewarding. And I'm being able to kind of interact with a group of upcoming physicians who honestly received a ton of training in medical school that I never received about addiction, about the medications. And I tell them all the time, you know, the residents, that is, when I teach them, you know far more than some of the attendings that are precepting you. And that is true, you know, because I feel like medical education, UMass Chan included, has made big strides in the past few years, just educating medical students, graduate students, just about kind of how to engage with substance use disorder, how to talk about things in a non-stigmatizing manner, how to even think about the pharmacology of this. I'll take myself back a little bit. I graduated medical school in 2010. We didn't really get any of that. You know, our addiction course was maybe 3 hours long, and it was just didactics. It was just like a lecture. I think it's part because of necessity. Like, things have gone, you know, I think so far just in terms of addiction and substance use disorder in the public that medical education is catching up. But it's presented this very odd quandary where, you know, when I kind of stepped into the role as a kind of like addiction curriculum educator, I have to kind of be like, all right, like theoretically you have so much knowledge, but okay, how can I help you kind of actually use that kind of in practice? Because in practice, things are not really as they have been taught. They actually work very differently in the real world, in primary care, in hospital medicine, wherever your setting is right now. I've come to kind of tell my residents, all right, you are the agents of change. You are bringing this knowledge, and I'm just going to tweak things a little bit so you have a little bit more clinical context, and you can help educate your, you know, your attending preceptors or people kind of in place where you work, or, you know, even kind of, you know, the clinical teams if you're in an inpatient setting. And so that's been a very interesting dance to lead, and honestly, just really, really cool to watch.
How are you empowering them to take this torch with this enhanced knowledge that you're talking about, like this greater focus on it in medical school, and really applying that to the future needs of their patients?
It's because I have such great community partners, because I really feel like in order to take it, like you were saying, kind of to the next step and to be able to kind of look at the real world, they have to be in the real world, you know, and this is not something I can't just put them like in any random primary care setting, for example, and have them be able to gain that experience of like being able to be comfortable with the medications, being able to be comfortable with a conversation to be had with a patient. Let's say they encounter that same patient in their primary care clinic. I have recovery coaches who take the residents under their wing and maybe just have them see patients with them for a day. They rotate through Spectrum. So Dr. Phoebe Cushman is an internist who has helped me significantly because, you know, she works at Spectrum. She sees patients and treats them with medications. And so she has just been this huge workhorse in terms of being able to help residents understand, okay, this is how you prescribe this stuff. And you can do this in outpatient medicine. You don't have to be at Spectrum. And, you know, my residents also sort of passed through really, I would say, innovative community experiences. So, for example, the Milford Drug Court, where we have a partnership with them at Tri-River. The drug court itself is a very rigorous 18-month program, where really the focus is on, okay, you're gonna recover and you're gonna be, you know, a productive citizen. My residents have been able to sit in drug court and be able to kind of see like, wow, there's actually another path for people with this issue. And here's kind of how we can support them and things of that nature, because there are clinicians that work at drug court as well. Obviously, I'm kind of like the connector, but it's because there are all these supports in place that I think the residents have been able to get like a much more real world understanding that they wouldn't have just in a clinical kind of traditional setting that they would just be in.
Thank you. That's such an interesting sort of well-rounded approach to helping people get better, which is really the point, right? Well, Dr. Chang, it's been a pleasure talking to you and learning more about this. Thanks for the work you're doing. And thanks for taking the time to talk with us about it.
It's absolutely a pleasure. And thank you so much for actually doing this podcast and actually shedding some light on this really, really important issue.
If you like the Voices of UMass Chan podcast, we hope you'll subscribe on the platform where you listen. If you have a podcast idea, we'd love to hear it. Email us at umasschancommunications@umassmed.edu.
Follow us at UMass Chan on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. On YouTube, find us at UMass Chan Medical School.